When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, welcome to In the Pink, sponsored by Bose. Stay home, stay healthy, stay connected.
But something else that I saw recently was documentary The Real Thing story.
Yes.
And you did. And for anyone who hasn't seen it, it's all about the song "You to Me Are Everything." Okay, I really can't sing. You should take over that bit.
Can't.
It was the first black band to get a number one hit. They're out of Liverpool. Everyone thought they were American, right? Mm-hmm. And one thing, and this was only, what, back in the late 70s. One thing you said on that documentary was that you used to, like, punch the air if you ever saw a black person on television. Mm-hmm. Because it just didn't happen. Is that really true? You just didn't ever see black people on screen?
I can tell you... I'm happy to talk about it. I can tell you that it's very difficult. I talked to a lot of my white friends about this. And in this last few months, a lot's gone on. And a lot of white colleagues or friends of mine, mainly colleagues, to be fair, love talking to me because they're not afraid to make a mistake talking to me or feel people are walking on hot coals right now. They don't want to say the wrong thing, and it's counterproductive. We need to talk a lot more. And it was like that. My mum would be on the phone to a friend going, "Hey, put ITV on. There's a black person on ITV." Honestly, it was like that. Seriously, it was like that. We were, it's crazy, but that's how it was. And you're not to think that. You know, I don't look at you and say, "Didn't you realise, Natalie?" Of course you're not going to think that. You know, I grew up watching, you know, who's my first crush on telly? Probably looking at someone on the Avengers or someone. Probably someone like Purdy or something. You know what I mean? When you're a little kid, you are indoctrinated to see beauty as it is on telly. You know, Blondie, when we were at school, none of us knew she was in her 30s, but we're all like 15, "Oh, Blondie," or, you know... But, you know, it's just the way it was. I've got to tell you, it's been interesting the last few months, but it's also been exhausting. Been really, really exhausting. Things you take for granted, such a big deal to us as black people, you know. Lenny Henry was about the only person who ever cut through on telly. I can tell you the bunch. Charlie Williams was a comedian from Yorkshire or somewhere. Kenny Lynch was an old school Jimmy Tarbuck's mates, these lot are. That's how far back we're going. Love Thy Neighbour was a very racist comedy that was on telly. The guy who's in EastEnders, Patrick, he was in Love Thy Neighbour when he was young, and it was him bickering with a white neighbour. Their two families bickering. The women were always great. The wives were great, but it was the husbands that were bickering. And they used, you know, racist terms. And Alf Garnett, that was probably the most racist program on television. And it was, and then you had comedians constantly taking the mickey out of, you know, Jim Davison, Chalky, and doing all these, and it was all, everyone laughing and it was fine. Bernard Manning used to be on telly, and you know, you're used to this. You get indoctrinated by seeing this. So when you see someone who's just not playing a stereotype role, well, just about every black person on telly had to at the time. When I saw Sidney Poitier in a movie with dignity, you know, proper dignity, and he was a star, and he overcame bigotry, and he kept, I was like, wow, he's my hero. You know, so it was a big deal, and it wouldn't have been a big deal to many people apart from black people, because we were represented one way and one way only. So when people say to me always, oh, you've got a career, your career is, you've had a great career, Trevor. And you're like, and they go, how did you plan it? I didn't plan shit. I didn't expect to be on Radio 1. Are you crazy? My aspiration was get a job, have a nice wife, be able to buy a house and go on holiday once a year. That was my aspiration. End of.
Why? Because you're black. You didn't think you would be able to have a career like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've had these conversations now with, I had a private chat with the managing director of the BBC, and I love him for it, Bob. And we have this sort of conversation, you know, people would love me to be, there are certain activists who would love me to be on social media, banging a drum. I'm too old for that. I'm not talking to you unless I can see your eyes. This is too important. Do you get what I mean? I'm not going to write something to make myself feel good and get a few likes. I want to look you in the eye and talk to you, or speak to you and talk to you about race. I'm not afraid to talk about race. And I'm not one of these, I understand it from both sides. And that not many people want to take that stance. You know, you're an activist, or you're for, or you're against. Do you know what I mean? Lewis is in a really, really incredible position. And what he's doing, I know what he's doing. I mean, of all the sports in the world, that is the most privileged for me. One of the most privileged, right? You can't get into that sport. His story is fantastic. Anyway, there should be a movie down the line about him. He's forcing the agenda. He's really, it might be rocking the boat and upsetting a few people up there, I'm sure. But you know what? He's the world champion. If anyone can, he can. So good on him. You know, good on him.
Tell me why the last few weeks have been exhausting. As a black man, kind of dipping in, watching it, observing it, but wanting something to happen.
Yeah. Because I'm constantly talking to other broadcasters, and they look at me as a senior. You know, black broadcasters. I'm talking to producers. I'm talking to white producers who do black shows. You know, because it's not all. It's not, you know. I'm talking to anyone who, I'm not talking to the press. This is the first time I'm talking to anyone publicly about Black Lives Matter, because that is you, Natalie. But, you know, I think it's been exhausting for everybody. I think the saturation on television sometimes is quite patronizing. Just to me, I find it quite patronizing sometimes. I think, you know, it's all right to put, I felt it was quite organic at the beginning. I also understand that if you don't have anyone of colour that you know personally, it's very, very difficult to comment or know what it's like or understand. You know what I mean? It's so difficult for people to get it. So it's, people say, forget the softly, softly. We got to bash them over the head. Just, you know, there's ways. I think it's been a good thing. The George Floyd thing was disgraceful. The woman in the park, in Central Park, when the guy said your dog should be on a lead, it's pretty much a real indication of what you're up against. He had every right to say what he said, and she gets on the phone and says to the police, there's a black man threatening me. Good thing he filmed it. Because he wasn't threatening her. He said, ma'am, you should have your dog on a lead. Pure and simple. And she is someone who has got the power to employ people. And she probably subconsciously is racist. So, you know, I've always been brought up by my parents. My parents have never, ever, ever given this. I may have said there wasn't a lot of love and, you know, in the household. And I don't mean there wasn't love. My parents loved me. I mean, you know, but it was a sense of duty, getting through the day, you know, making ends meet, that kind of thing, which was instilled in me. But they never, ever, ever said to me anything racist. They suffered racism, but he never transmitted it to me. Do you know what I mean? They always had friends. They judge people on the person. And thankfully, I'd like to think I've done the same thing in my life. And that's all we need in this world. That is the only criteria. An idiot's an idiot. A good person's a good person. I could swear and I'm tempted, but I won't. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean? And it's no different to, I'm so sure of myself in this that I don't need to look at Twitter. I don't need to look on social media. I don't need to look at anything to tell me what I am, who I am, how I should act, who I should speak to, who I should befriend, who I should mix with, who I should date, who I should anything. I don't need to be told. I educated myself on the past, the Black history. I watched Roots. That's what did it. I was 10 years old. Roots came on telly. I cried. My whole family cried. I went to school angry the next day. Really angry. Because Roots was the first I'd really heard about slavery properly. We weren't taught it at school. So then I realized where I came from. And I felt a sense of massive displacement, massive not knowing. Because I used to grow up thinking, why am I here? What is it? I don't get it. What's going on? What, you know, it's cold and I didn't get it as a kid. You know what I mean?
You look different to the other kids.
Well, yeah, but I don't think
the Black community.
I was part of a Black community, which made me feel, you know, Hackney was a mixed community. Our road was the United Nations. We had Irish, Turkish, Africa. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful community. Yeah, it was so much fun. It was fun. I loved my road. I loved the way I was brought up. I loved Hackney in the old days. But when you get to the sort of critical age of 10, 11, 12, teenage, you start noticing different things, you know? And I started reading. And I started reading stuff I wasn't taught at school. I started reading autobiographies. I read about a guy called Steve Biko, then Nelson Mandela. And then, you know, and I kind of educated myself on it. And so I realized the injustices and the way we've got to go. We've got a long, 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 long way to go. This is no easy fix. But at the same time, I realize I'm in a country that is a white country and I'm in a minority. So you look at yourself that way and you're the underdog from the get-go. So in order to get somewhere, you just have to power through and work extra hard. But the truth is, I think I've got everywhere in life because of my personality. And I think that is a massive, I'm not an angry man. You know, I'm a, you cross me, you just won't hear from me again. I'm not going to confront you. I ain't got the energy for that. There's about 30 other million that could upset me. What am I going to do every time someone upsets me? Confront them. I'll confront people if I need to. The people that matter, the people that really, really matter, put themselves. But I won't do it publicly because I think there's too much of that public shaming. I think some people deserve it, but not everybody. You've got to pick your fights. You know, you've got to pick your fights because then you just become a fighter all the time.
So were you subjected, have you been, are you subjected to racism through your career?
I'm lucky because it's Black music and I'm Black. So, you know, I think there were instances, yes, but more not me directly. It's more what I represent. You know what I mean? Mm. The music I represent from... Particularly, we've mentioned somewhere I used to work. I don't want to put it out there. I said used to work, and someone at the very top was.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
it just upset me a little bit, you know. But for the music's sake, and for getting the artists on, and for getting that music out there, I had a mission. That was my mission. And if I, you know, didn't do that show, I thought that show was very important. Yeah. I did a Zoom chat for a guy who's writing a book on black entrepreneurship. And he and his wife works at JP Morgan, regular black couple, lovely, lovely young people who are just so positive. And I told them stuff that I've never told anyone, you know, like never, about my time at MTV, EMI and places like that, and how I was the only guy around, you know, at one point at EMI, and there were only a few of us at MTV and stuff. But my mission is that when I walk out the door, that you say, do you know what? I'd hire another one of him yesterday. I'd hire, you know, and I think it's, do you know what I mean? That's my thing.
Very positive, yeah.
You've got a, he said, you're a trailblazer. I said, no, I don't see myself as that, but I know I am.
I think anyone listening to this will, and you are, because that's why all those producers over the last few weeks have called you. They're looking for answers, and they know you can probably give them those answers.
I can try, but you know what? If you touching back on, I know we've gone on this subject, and I'm happy. I knew we would, and I actually probably want to talk about it anyway. I knew from being on Radio 1 and existing on Radio 1, it will help every single wannabe broadcaster. You know, oh my God, I could do that. Do you know what I mean? That's more important to me than anything, the legacy. I might be, you know, I might have a checkered family history or a checkered this. I might not be the best dad in the world. I might not be this. But the one thing in the world I know that I was good at was doing black music radio on a mainstream station and trying to sell my culture to the nation. Do you know what I mean? And help artists sell records and let people enjoy music. And I hope loads of people have bought albums because they heard me play it or enjoy an artist. And it's really important that these youngsters come through and go, he did that. I can do that. I call it the Obama effect. And I'm not putting myself on the pedestal like him, but you know what I mean? When he became president of the United States, I broke down in tears. I cried like a baby. I never thought in my lifetime, you didn't have to be black to feel emotional about Obama getting it. You thought the world, wow, I've never guessed in America. Because if you've been to America, you know, the only color they like is green. They love green. That's their favorite color. Above all else, money, right? And you know, so I see this black man become president of the United States, and I'm like, I just couldn't believe it. And I was so thrilled. And I immediately said to people, don't think for one moment he's going to walk into every black neighborhood sprinkling money. He's not going to do that. His job is done. His job is to get there. His job is getting there. That was his job, getting there, because it gives you hope, you know what I mean, that anything is possible.
And now it's your job to follow and overachieve and do whatever you can.
Our jobs. It's all our jobs, you know. Yeah. And I'm, you know, right now it's a better time to be in the industry than it was before, because there are some doors opening. Although I would say, every broadcaster and everybody has to feel they're there on merit.
Yeah.
It's really important. It's really important, you know, that you feel you're there on merit, because there's nothing worse than feeling you're there as a token gesture. That is not great, you know.
Very true. I don't even know if you'll remember this, but you and I were meeting to have a production chat ahead of one of the NFL shows. This is, you know, 11 years ago. And you said, where should we meet? And I said, Shoreditch House, because I knew it was near you. And you were like, oh, yeah, okay. And when we walked into Shoreditch House, do you know what I'm going to say?
I can't remember, but I know we went to Shoreditch House.
You sort of slightly rolled your eyes, and I went, what's the matter? And you went, just look around, Pinks. Do you see another black person in this whole place? And I was like, shit, no. What? No. And you went, of course you didn't, because you're white. But imagine if you'd walked into a place with me on one of my suggestions and you were the only white person there, you would notice. And I was...
Wow.
It was a moment for me. I've never forgotten that.
Wow. Did I say that?
Yeah.
I was comfortable with you then.
Yeah.
Really comfortable to have said that to you. That's, I was, I mean, it's just because I can doesn't mean I do. And it's not, and honestly, it was on my doorstep. I was a member. I think I was a member as well. Wasn't I? I don't know if I was a member. No, I wasn't yet. I wasn't a member. But I don't see myself as better than anyone. But it's odd, isn't it? That's my life in a nutshell there.
Do you know what you did in that moment as you started a process for me? Because, you know, and I'm still learning, but I've never forgotten that moment. And I thought, yeah, do you know what? I have to walk a mile in another man's shoes in order to, before I can even begin to understand.
I would never have said that unless I was comfortable saying that. I'm telling you now, it wasn't a thing for me because it's been, you know, that happens all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I have membership of a lot of places that I don't use.
Yeah.
Complimentary memberships or something, but I don't, you know, I was up in, what, I'm not going to dish Shoreditch House, by the way. I was up in
no, and you weren't, but you were just flagging something up to me. Yeah. And that was really important, and I thank you for it.
Although I was at White City House the other day, and that is lovely and multicultural now. It's a bit more, you know what I mean, but then yeah, we evolved, don't we? That was 11 years ago.
Yeah.
And now loads of young black kids are hanging out in White City House doing their work. It's fantastic, you know. So,
do you feel that this is a watershed moment? Because, and I don't know whether it's, and I'm always loath to use this term because perfect storm always implies that, you know, the word perfect implies it's a good thing. But it feels like all these things kind of did come together at the same time with COVID, with lockdown. There was a lot of oppression. There was a lot of frustration. There was a lot of people wanting their voices to be heard and probably struggling a lot of people struggling with mental health issues. The George Floyd thing was this massive global catalyst at a time when people were prepared and had to listen because we were at home, locked in and ready to absorb. So do you think that this will be the change that we need to see in the world? And do you think this will be lasting?
I can honestly say the George Floyd moment alone was seismic. I think there was outrage from any human being watching that. That was just a shock to a lot of people. It wasn't a shock to black people, especially in America. It was an absolute shock to a hell of a lot of people. The callousness, the like he's an animal. Not even, you wouldn't do that to an animal, right? It was painful. I mean, I was screaming at my television when I saw that. I'm just like, you know, are you kidding me? You know, that sort of thing, right? It wasn't in the middle of nowhere. Someone's filming it. What happened after that was strange, but I felt powerful. The fact that we were in lockdown, we were told stay in, and these young people in America, black and white, went out and weren't having any more of this. This is just too much. Yeah, they had COVID fever being locked down. They wanted to get out anyway, and then what they were pent up. But what before that, Black Lives Matter was festering. It was up. It was like a roller coaster. You'd heard of it. People weren't totally sure about its merits or what it means, and people didn't really investigate it enough to find out, and people were happy to say white lives matter, which of course white lives matter. We've always known white lives matter. We're in a white world in that way, you know what I mean? And you know, people, it's so awful having to explain why the term Black Lives Matter came up. It should be Black Lives Matter as well, just to explain to people who don't understand it.
I do think that there has been a problem with the politicisation. The Black Lives Matter is also an organisation which a lot of people aren't comfortable with. But it's also a statement, isn't it? You know, Black Lives Matter, of course they do. And I don't think, well, unless you're deeply racist, there's anyone that would disagree with that as a statement.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, it doesn't mean you buy into the whole movement and all these other stuff. But the core point is that Black Lives Matter, right? We're human beings. That's what it means. We are also, you could have a t-shirt saying, we are also human beings. Please treat us like that. That's what they mean.
It's catchy.
It is quite catchy. But what's happened since has been a bit, it's gone a bit crazy in both directions. You know, the far right and people with right leanings, are very riled up, obviously. The far left are jumping on board. You know, it's politicized totally. Those in charge, dare I say, of the countries involved at the moment, I'm not enamored with at all. And I'll leave it at that. I mean, they're more divisive than cohesive. Is that the right word, I should say? They're not the adhesive. They're more like, let's rip it open and tear it up. But it is a seismic moment. I think there'll be a shift. I think there has been a shift. I don't think it's a solution. I don't think we're over any humps yet. We're nowhere near. We're at the foot of the mountain. And this has to be gradual process. It's just awareness. It's just awareness. I'm here. I'm talented. Please, you know, give me a fair crack. You know, give me a fair crack. I'm a human. I pay my taxes. I do this. I do that. Give me a fair crack. That's all. Just treat me like you treat Natalie. That is it. That's all I'm asking. You know what I mean? And people will say, well, but you've done well, mate. Ah, you're all right, aren't you? Yeah, 30 years. I've been working really, really hard. And, you know, if you want to find, and everybody I know that's been a success of any kind has got a very strong personality, a very single-minded, and will power through, you know, and make a difference. And not, you know, my generation certainly didn't sit around feeling entitled. Not me coming up. We were angry. There were riots where I grew up. There were, listen, once I was going, are you looking at a good boy here, but I was walking out on the street and my mum called me back, banged the window when I was going down the road with my friends because we heard something was going on. And she said, where are you going? You come back here now. And I was like, oh, shame. And I had to walk back in, but I'm glad she did. But fast forward to the year 2020, and my nephew just had his 15-minute short story on ITV, the first of the four short stories to do Black Lives Matter, that he wrote, was on ITV at 9 o'clock a couple of nights ago.
Wow! So what's it? How can we find it? What's it called?
It's ITV. Oh gosh, you're going to kill me. Ah. It's ITV. It was on ITV 9 o'clock, just gone. I'll find out if it's. Hang on, 1 second. You might have to edit this because it'll look really bad if I don't know. His name's Jerome Buchan Nelson. And he's done very well for himself. He's written for EastEnders, Hollyoaks, Emmerdale, everything. He's great. And that's what it's about. Someone, a kid who's got a chance. He was doing politics and history, I believe, at uni, and he decided, I want to be a filmmaker. And now he's doing fantastically well, under the radar, done his stuff. No nepotism, no uncle helping him, or he's just on merit. That's how it should always be. Some people don't like to hear that, but that's how it should be. So it should be. Yeah, I'm really proud of him. Really proud. There you go. It was a 15-minute short story written by Jerome Buchan. Generational.
Generational. Okay, brilliant. Thank you for that. Oh, Trevor, I could talk to you all night long. I tell you what.
We've done already, Nats.
We've been chatting for an hour and a quarter.
Wow, you got to edit it. How long's your podcast?
I don't want to edit it. I want all of it to go up. I love it. I love it so much.
We've got loads more to catch up on, haven't we?
Brilliant. You're brilliant.
I'm happy to, you know, I haven't spoken on Black Lives Matter anywhere because...
Is there anything else that you want to say about it?
No, not really. I want to say, you know, my point is being there is... You know, people, look, I'm in radio terms, I'm a household name in radio terms. I'm not the most famous black man in the country by a long, long chalk, you know. That's probably just Elba or something like that, you know. But I think that by being there, you make a change. You know, by doing you, You make a change by changing, you know, I don't want to be just, I don't want to be one of the only ones in the house, let in the house, you know, let him in. We like him. You know, I just want people to give black people a fair crack of the whip, a fair, you know, look at their CV. Don't just look at their appearance. Don't just assume they're angry or they're this or the stereotypes. Let's find, you know, I'll tell you one place I love going to. And I'm going to give this company a plug, not because I want you to buy their products, but I engage with people. When I go to the Apple store, they always have all these young people, black, white, green, yellow, pink, running around, and they're all so engaging. I don't know how they select their staff, but I always end up in huge conversations. It's one of my opportunities to talk to young people without, you know, for no reason at all. And I always end up talking to them. So what do you want to do? What do you want to do eventually? And you know what I mean? And they're able because you need them when you've got computer problems or you've got, so you need these people and they're there for you. And I always go the extra mile and just ask them stuff and talk to them. Yeah, so like working there, or you just working there for a while. Where do you want to go? It's like, well, you know, when you talk to a cabbie who always says, "This isn't my job." Get a cabbie, goes, "This isn't my job." You know, they always go, I used to be a graphic designer, just doing this, or I'm a student, or I'm studying, or I'm whatever. And I love talking to people who are interesting. Treat everybody like that. Give them a crack.
That's a really good point, because you do need them in the Apple store. So you're all ears to them. That's what we should be as a general rule.
So you're an Apple person as well, right?
Yeah.
So you've been in there and it's really strange. It's strange, isn't it? It's strange how you are, you need them and you hear them and they're, sometimes they're some of the most interesting, sometimes they're not, but a lot of the time I find them the most interesting people. Yeah. It's like, go to Mackie D's if you get Mackie D's. And I always used to say to people, don't laugh at people who work at Mackie D's. They're working. That could be your boss one day.
Yeah.
That person could be your boss one day. You know, I like people who work, you know, and I always have a word, but I don't buy Mackie's much, so.
Yeah. Listen, you wouldn't look that good at 57 if you did.
Maybe not. Been lovely talking.
You too, my darling. Thank you so, so much.
Thanks so much for listening to In The Pink. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast you've listened to so far. Please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. Check out our Instagram page at in_the_pink. And you get all the details there about how you can win some of those Bose noise-cancelling headphones. And join the community. We're all talking about the various guests that we've had on the podcast and who we'd like to see and hear in the next few weeks. So thank you for joining us. Stay with us. Stay healthy. Stay home. Stay connected with Bose.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.